Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you, Jay. As we come to our study today, we want to know more about the Garden of Eden, because this place and what happened in this place around 6,000 years ago is so significant in our understanding of what has happened over these many years and what will happen in the future. Remember last time we were together, we were thinking about the description of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2. Many people believe that the Garden of Eden is or was in Iraq because of the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. A closer look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10 reveals to us that there is only one river in the Garden of Eden. This is key to understanding where the garden was at the time of creation and where it is today. The Garden of Eden is key to understanding Bible prophecy. Let's get back to that one river in the garden. It is the Gihon River, and I know where it is located today. Take your Bible, and let's go to 1 Kings chapter 1.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
I do know where the Gihon is, because I read 1 Kings chapter 1. Do you not remember that when King David was on his deathbed, having served 40 years as the king, the second king of Israel, it's time now to anoint Solomon to be the third king of Israel? One of his younger sons tries to usurp that power and take it away from Solomon? What does King David say? He said to his wife from his deathbed, "Honey, go get the servant. Tell him to go down to the Gihon and get some water so I can come and I can anoint this man, Solomon, my son, to be king." We reenacted that. I have a video of a three-part on the city of Jerusalem where the archaeologists studying the city of David, where King Solomon had his home, where King David had his home, where the location was of the city of Jerusalem, original site. And he's studying all the archaeological activities going on there. And so we reenacted. We sent our guide when we were doing a television program down to the Gihon to get some water. And we reenacted the anointing, pouring of the water on the hands, just like King David did to Solomon, who became king. And then we went down with our television cameras. And down there, that archaeologist told me that his son, who's a Navy SEAL in the Israeli Defense Force, put his scuba diving equipment on, swam up underneath the Dome of the Rock, and gushing out of the ground the headwaters for the river that flowed into the Pool of Siloam. You know the Pool of Siloam. That's where when Jesus put the mud in a man's eyes, Jesus said, "Go there and wash him out, and you'll be able to see." The water oblations for the activities at the temple, they would get the water from the Pool of Siloam, which is the Gihon River flowing in there. That's the river that was in the Garden of Eden, the location in the center of the earth, the city of Jerusalem. That's where it all was. That's where it started, the inauguration. By the way, man was in there. And God used the Garden of Eden to provide for everything he needed. Oh, you know what? They were vegetarians. You know why? Death had not come into existence yet. You have to kill an animal to make a hamburger, right? Or a hot dog, or a sausage sandwich. Death had not come into existence yet. So they were vegetarians. That's why God planted the garden with all kind of trees. The tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He mentioned those two, but there were other kinds of trees. Beautiful, wonderful foliage. He could live among it. His habitation was set up. He didn't have to worry about it. He was naked. He didn't even know it. He didn't even recognize Eve. She was naked. They didn't have to worry about that. They didn't need clothes. What do you need? You need a house to live in. You need a food to eat. You need clothing. That's all you need. God provided it all in the Garden of Eden. By the way, you know who else was in the Garden of Eden? Lucifer. Oh, he was not the devil at that time. He was a very prominent cherub. Go to the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Now, I know the first part of Ezekiel 28 is talking about the king of Tyre. But starting in verse 13, no longer is it talking about the king of Tyre. It's talking about Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. Notice what it says in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Notice the last part of verse 13. In thee, in the day that thou wast created, I brought you into the Garden of Eden. You were there. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain. Notice that phrase, holy mountain of God. It's used 18 times in the Old Testament. The holy mountain of God is a synonym with the words Garden of Eden. It's the same location. The holy mountain of God, the Garden of Eden, that's where you were. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15, and thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Lucifer, the most prominent of all cherubs ever created. There were three kinds of angels, as best we know. There were the seraphim, that's Isaiah chapter 6. There was the cherubim, that's Ezekiel chapter 1. And there were the throne room angels, which is a compilation of both of those, the seraphim and the cherubim, and that's Revelation chapter 4. But those are the three types of angels there were, and he was the most prominent of all angels ever created. How many were created? I don't know. I think about 12 billion of them. Because as they tell us, the people who do demographics, they say there's as many people alive today as there's lived since creation. So 6 billion people alive today, 6 billion people have been alive since creation. That's 12 billion people. And the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, what? We're not angels created to minister unto you? So I think at least for every person that ever lived, one angel was created. I don't care what the number is. There was a big number. The Bible says in chapter 5 of Revelation, 10,000 times 10,000, that's 100 million. And then there's 200 million, chapter 9 of the book of Revelation, that indeed were put in a prison, the abyss, for a period of time. So a number of angels created. And the most magnificent, the most beautiful of all of them was Lucifer. And he was in the Garden of Eden. There's Adam, there's Lucifer, there's Jesus Christ. By the way, how do I know it's Jesus Christ? Well, he created everything. Number two, the Bible tells us that no man can see God and live. And you can't see the Holy Spirit because he's a spirit. The only person of the Godhead you can see is Jesus Christ. It was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. He walked in the garden. He was with them. They had fellowship together. What else could you want? All the provision for man, the prominence of Lucifer, and the production of Jesus Christ as he brought all of this into existence. That's the inauguration of the Garden of Eden. But hold it. There was insurrection in the Garden of Eden also. You still got chapter 28 of Ezekiel? Look at the last part of that verse 15 that I did not read. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Boy, that answers a lot of questions. Where does evil come from? Where does sin come from? Did God create evil? Did God bring sin into existence? If he created Lucifer, and then Lucifer had sin found in him, iniquity in him, yes, okay, God was responsible. But God did not bring evil and sin into existence. It was Lucifer. He's the one that sinned. We'll look at chapter 14 of Isaiah in a moment. We'll see where he exercised his free will. You see, angels have free wills, just like human beings have free wills. The only problem is an angel can only exercise his free will one time and then he's locked in it. Human beings can exercise their free will a number of times. They can continually change their mind. An angel only makes one bad decision, exercising the free will locked into it. But look what happened. Iniquity was found within Lucifer. Go down here to verse 16. But in the multitude of thy merchandise, thou have filled with in the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. See, the holy mountain of God. synonymous with the Garden of Eden, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, O most prominent angel in all of creation, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, pride. Let me tell you what I think happened. Here's what I think happened. Now, this is sanctified speculation, so mark it down. It's not scripture, because we don't have it actually written out that way. But let me tell you what I think happened. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 and 28, God gave dominion to Adam and Eve. He made them king and queen over all of creation. That was on the sixth day of creation. What happened on the first day of creation when God brought Lucifer into existence? He put him in the place of prominence over all of creation. And 5 days later, who's this upstart? Adam and Eve. What are they doing? They're taking my prominence away. I'm the one prominent over all of... Who are they? I think the pride of his beauty and his position brought him down. And so you know what he said? I will! Go to chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou come down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You know where that is? The mount of the congregation in the sides of the north? That's the city of Jerusalem. Psalm 48, verse 2. That's a definition of Jerusalem. And Lucifer says, not only will I rise above the stars of God, not only will I be equal with God, he says it in a moment, not only will I do that, I will be worshipped in Jerusalem. Remember what I told you? Abomination and desolation. Antichrist, the representative of Satan, walks into the temple, sits down in the throne room, and what does 2 Thessalonians 2:4 say? He claims to be God. It's the abomination of desolation. I will be worshipped in Jerusalem. Notice what else he says here. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. You're not going to be like the Most High God. I will. And there's insurrection in the Garden of Eden. But what's he going to do now? He needs a subtle strategy. He's got to take down this king and queen, the one who has dominion. Go to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. Well, let's stop by chapter 1, verse 31. Let me show you something. There was no Satan in the first 6 days of creation. How do I know that? I read the text, chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. I like the Hebrew flavor to that. Abundantly excellent. Was abundantly excellent, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So on the sixth day of creation, those first 6 days, there was no evil angel activity because there were no evil angels because everything was abundantly excellent.
Indeed, there were no evil angels in the Garden of Eden in that first 6 days of creation. As I said, everything was abundantly excellent at the end of the 6 days of creation. There was no evil present. However, after that first week, evil did show up in the garden. Lucifer, the most perfect angel ever created, brought about an insurrection in the garden. Lucifer's rebellion would lead to the fall of Adam and Eve and sin entering humankind. This is a part of Satan's subtle strategy. Next week on the broadcast, we'll study what Satan's subtle strategy was all about and see how we can combat Satan's attack on us. That will be a very important study. You do not want to miss it. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study this week.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up until...